Forward in faith, it's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loren Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us as Loren gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. This broadcast is sponsored by Just a Minute, a 60-second word of inspiration by Dr. Tim Hill, General Overseer for the Church of God. Take a moment and enjoy this encouraging message.
I've always loved the story of the woman with the issue of blood who made this statement, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole." You know, when thinking about the hem of any garment, that is really where all the loose ends come together. And can I tell you that Jesus Christ can pull it all together in your life? And if you need to be healed today, all you need to do is reach out and touch him in faith, because there's more healing in the hem of his garment than there is every drugstore in town. Jesus Christ is still the healer of all your diseases. And I pray for your healing today in Christ Jesus. Know that I love you. Think about you every day and praying for you. I'll be with you again for just a minute.
And now, here's Loren Livingston.
I live every day now with an increasing, a different perspective, I should say, about length of life, numbers of days, and what will await us when it's over. That's becoming a consuming thing with me. And so I want you to know that while I'm preaching right now, I am consumed with a sense of urgency. My spirit is stirred. I realize that I'm speaking eternal words to eternal people who live in a temporary world. And so may God's grace help us to hear and see and receive him today in Jesus' name. I'd like you to turn with me, or let them put on the screen, the 24th Psalm, please. The 24th Psalm. And if you'll read it with me, please. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts.
He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. There's another thing that stays on my mind all the time, and it has to do with rewards. I was reading this week the words of Jesus, and just highlighted a couple of these things in the sixth chapter. He said, take heed that what you don't do for men to see it. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Another time he said, when you do a charitable deed, don't sound a trumpet like the hypocrites do. They already have their reward. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly or publicly. Another time he said, when you pray, don't pray out to be heard. But when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus made it very clear that everything we are doing is about a reward one day. And of course, all of the other writers constantly talked about what we're doing now having an effect on our future, our eternal future. The great men and women of the Bible did what they did because they saw the reward that was to come. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years or when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Listen to this. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking to the reward. See, those men and women didn't just live for today, and they weren't caught up in this world's system. They weren't just looking for something to temporarily gratify them, some affirmation from people, worldly people, dying people. They knew that there was something beyond this life, past this last breath that we take. God's keeping records, and God is watching every word and every deed. And Paul said, I'm about to finish my course, and there is a crown of righteousness waiting on me. And I would say to every one of you today that we need to pray earnestly that God would give us a sense of the eternal. We need to be thinking like, living like eternal people. This is not my world. God has put me here to serve in it for a certain amount of time. To preach right, live right, help people. But this is not my world. Yet everything I do in this world will affect how I spend eternity. My actions and deeds down here, whether it's giving or praying or living or worshiping, whatever I do, if I do it as unto the Lord, it brings a great reward one of these days. And I tell you that until the church gets a new sense of eternity and we stop living for temporary stuff and getting our thrills and our joys from this world. I told myself I would not say this today because I said it Wednesday night. I hope no. Well, I'm not even going to say that. I went to a big old event that's happening here in Charlotte this week. And Sandra and I were on there about 30 minutes because we were somebody's guest for lunch. And I tell you that it was all I could do not to jump up and down and scream as I look around. It was all I could do not to say, what's the point? What's the point? People live for just temporary pleasure. Another drink, another paycheck, something else to give a little injection of temporary happiness. There's no sense of eternity about this world. We live from one game to the other, from one tournament to the other, from one social event to the other, from one election to the other. It's just on, an endless cycle of futility and meaninglessness. And of all the people that walk on this planet, God's children ought to be aware of the silliness of it all. And we ought to live like men and women who are never going to die. who are going to face God one day and be given a reward one day and rule and reign with Him one day. We ought to look at this world for what it is. It's a puff of smoke. It's a season that's passing away. It's a flower in the ground that may look beautiful right now, but even as I'm talking, its petals are turning yellow and withering. It's about to pass away. And heaven and earth will pass away. That's why we ought to be living, worshiping, working, everything we do like people who are never going to pass away. We just happen to be living amongst all that is temporary. He looked to the reward. Paul was always thinking about a reward. Now, how do you get to the place that you truly understand that everything this world does is for nothing? The whole world is about money. It's not about justice and truth and equality and integrity. It's about money. This is a wicked world run by wicked people who only care about money and power and fame for a season. Did you hear what I said? This is a wicked world. We live in a wicked country run by wicked people who only care about power and money. You can't contradict what I'm telling you. The Bible affirms it. And that's why we should not get caught up in it and so intense about it that we forget we're going to heaven one of these days. But God doesn't just want me to wait till one of these days to have heaven. There is a walk you can have with Jesus right now that thrills you more than anything this world could ever offer. So how do you get to that place where you don't even want to be here, but you know you have an assignment and you want to be faithful to God while you're here? How do you get to that place where it all makes you sick? It's disgusting because it denies Christ and ignores heaven. It spits in the face of our Creator. How do you get to that place? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, by whom I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. It doesn't get any more separated than that. By the cross of Jesus Christ, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. Paul said, this world has not one inkling of an attraction to me. There isn't one thing about it I care for or want. Are you hearing me? You see, when something is dead to you and you're dead, there are only two ways to deal with something that's dead. You bury it or you burn it. Paul said, this world's dead to me and I'm dead to it. It has nothing I want and I have nothing it wants. It is totally opposed to me because I'm filled with Jesus, and I'm totally opposed to it because it's filled with unrighteousness. He said, in my mind, the world is buried. I don't want its money. I don't want its recognition. I don't want anything about it. My eyes are already set on Jesus. My heart is already in heaven. And this world wants nothing I have. Well, there'll come a day when we as Christians are not going to enjoy the freedom that we're enjoying right now. They kind of leave us alone. They pick at a few of the leading Christians on the networks and the commentators. They love that stuff. But there's coming a day when suddenly a spiritual thing is going to take place. And demons are going to be released. And the world is going to hate the cross like it's never hated it. hate the blood of Jesus as never before, and hate anybody who claims to live by it. That day is coming. So right now they tolerate us, but one of these days there will be a devilish hatred towards everything that is related to Jesus Christ. So Paul said, before that day gets here, you better bury the world and its attractions, because they've already buried you in their mind. You have nothing they want. I just want to ask a question right here. What is it about this world that still tantalizes some of you? You go to church and I'm a Christian, I'm spirit-filled, but there's just something about what's going on in this world that still titillates you. It teases you and attracts you. And you say, well, it's not wrong to have fun. Well, no, it isn't wrong to have fun. Well, what do you mean by fun? Well, you know, the Bible expects us to live. Yes, the Bible expects you to live in Christ. This world cannot satisfy a believer's heart. So I ask again, and you may be sitting up here and need to hear this question and answer it. You may be sitting up there. What in this world is it that still makes you smile? You still wish you had some of it. Still wish you could do it just one time. Maybe you could just go there. Maybe you just want to look like that for a little season in your life. What is it? You know, it's almost like some Christians, like when you hold up a baby, the first Christmas tree a baby ever sees, its eyes get this big, and it's so fascinated by the changing colors or the different colors that you can try to pull on it and get it to look at you, and it won't do it. Look right here, and you try to turn it, and it keeps its head this way, and you turn it, it holds it that. It's fascinated by the colors, there's something about the flesh that just gets so enamored with that kind of stuff. Speaking of babies, Sandra told me the other day she gave one of our grandsons, who's almost 9 months old now, she gave him a bath in the sink. She said he was the cutest thing. I had him sitting there, and I turned just a small stream of water from the faucet. And she said it was just so cute. He kept reaching up and trying to get it. It's a stream of water. He's trying to take it like he took his toy. He could hold his toy and gnaw on his toy, but he never could. And I'm talking to brothers and sisters in the faith this morning. I'm not talking to sinners. It's like we are so caught up with that little stream that the world offers, and we reach out to get it, but we can't. But we keep going for it. And we believe one day we'll reach it, because that's our big old goal, is to one day have this. Here I go again. One day I'm going to have this amount of money coming in. I'm going to live in this house. I'm going to be at this level. I'm going to drive this car. And then what? And then what? I need a church to talk back to me for just then what? Then you got to go to the next level. And because your friends are going to the next level. Uh-huh. And you got to get a bigger house because you got more income coming in. You got to invest it. You got to spend it. Oh, my God. What will I do? And it's never over. It's like working in the car business. You can set a world record, 550 cars this month at your dealership, and they'll celebrate, and there'll be confetti, and then they'll have a meeting on Monday and say, we got to break the record this month. Insurance, whatever. It's never over. Do you see the simple stupidity of the world in which we live? But I got to go on and ask you, what is it about all of that stuff? You'll be just laughing at it. then why do we keep going after it? What is it that makes us always try to decide between Jesus and the world? When will we ever get to the place that we say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. The world is a dead thing to me. I want to bury it. I want to burn it. I'm done with it because I'm going to heaven one of these days. I want to see Jesus one of these days. And so that brings me back to the 24th Psalm, which some of you thought I'd never get to. But I got some things to say about this today. The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, everything in it belongs to God. The world and those who live in it, God is sovereign. He answers to nobody. He owns it all. He made it all. But then the question is asked, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? This God, this Creator? Who may stand in His holy place? Let me be redundant. The one who made it all, the Creator of all things, the sovereign God who knows all, sees all. Who would like to walk up His holy hill? It's not a matter of can you, but do you want to? Do you want to know this Creator? Not the world He created, but the Creator Himself. Not the stuff He put together, but the one who made it all. Is there anybody that wants to climb up His holy hill? Is there anybody that wants to burn the energy and burn your kneecaps? Does anybody want to defy social gravity to get away from this level, to get off of this plateau and start climbing up the hill of the Lord? Does anybody want Him enough? Is anybody hungry enough that you'd like to just start a climb this morning towards the hill of the Lord? I'm not talking about your position as a believer. You're already saved. You're in Christ. But there's more to know about Christ. There's more to have in Christ. Does anybody want to just start climbing up the hill toward the King of Glory, who may stand in His holy presence? Who will take the time to just stand? Just stand. Not ask for anything, not be thinking about other things, not be contemplating what you could be doing down there on that level. Am I wasting time? Does this make sense? Who? Can I repeat myself? He's not saying who can, who's able. He's saying who wants to, who's hungry to do it, who's tired of this. I'm tired of this. Did you hear me? I'm tired of this. There's something else. There's a higher place to go. Oh, hallelujah. There's a greater place to worship God. There's a higher position in Jesus Christ if one is but willing to climb it and then stand there until He speaks. But who can go there? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. He that has done the right thing. He that refuses to compromise. He that refuses to ill-treat his neighbor or ignore his God with his hands. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. What is that? Everything you can think of that's wrong in your life, you've repented of it. You've stopped doing it. You want Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I tell you again, and I don't know how some of you are taking this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the machinery of religion. I'm tired of a regularity in church. I'm tired of predictability when we get here. God wants to show up every once in a while. But preacher, aren't we singing and aren't we praising? Sometimes He can't get in because we're having church. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and let me come in, I'll eat with you and you can eat with me. And I'm telling you, but I'm telling any preacher that's watching, and I'm telling any church that's listening, and I'm telling you all over the world, sometimes Jesus is trying to get in our church, but he can't because we're having church on our own. There's no flexibility for the Holy Spirit. Whatever we decide to do that day has to be done that day. Whatever y'all practice, that's what's got to be sung. That's what has to be played. Those are the announcements that have to be made. Those are the things we have to do. Then you give me a few minutes to preach. And I know I got to finish because you got to go out and they've got to come in. And see, I can't in my spirit hack this much longer. I'm so hungry for an explosion of God in our midst. And I have people. See, I know I've been serious lately. I'm a serious dude right now. People, Pastor, sometimes it just gets heavy in church. And I've had other speakers say, you know, Loran, sometimes you can get real heavy, but you seem to have a knack to make people laugh right when it's real heavy, and that kind of lightens it up. Let me tell you something. I'm not interested in being a manipulative public speaker. Somebody better praise him before I get way out of hand right here. I'm not interested in saying things to get you intense and then helping you laugh through it. I didn't come here today to entertain anybody. I'm here today because I'm stirred up in my soul and the fire in my bones is about to blister me. I can't take this anymore. I want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want people to speak in tongues and walk in the Spirit. I want God to heal bodies. I want him to deliver drug addicts. God can do it if we'll open up the door. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not even near finished. Stand up with me, everybody, and come down to this altar as quickly as you possibly can. I'm not asking you to saunter down or sashay down here. I'm asking you to come down like broken people who know that their affection is still on this world and we need a deliverance from it. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I wanted to finish this message, but I guess I'm finished. I tell you, the Lord is boring into our souls. Yes, sir. The fire of God wants to blister all that foolishness away. You see, folks, there's a word called call, C-A-U-L. Call is the membrane around the heart, spiritually speaking. And every time you reject or resist or disobey, another layer of call is built around your heart. And if you reject and refuse to pray and refuse revival long enough, enough call can build up around your heart that you can't hear God talking to you anymore. Oh, you'll worship, you'll shout, you'll pray, but you can't get direction from God. We need heart surgery this morning. Some of us need for God to cut that call from off of our hearts.
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. When requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard this broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, or by calling toll-free at 1-800-251-4024. For additional episodes of Just a Minute by Dr. Tim Hill, visit churchofgod.org.